Okay, today, this gospel, a very memorable gospel, we could all pretty much recite most of it from memory, I'm sure. And of course, the fundamental point, you know, again, stay awake, you know not the day or the hour. I want to, though, look at this gospel with you as a kind of teaching from our Lord, and I'll just give the working title as some practical principles for preparation. See, a real task in this life isn't just to get ready for the new career or something like that, but a real fundamental task is to get ready to meet the Lord. And the Lord wants to teach us four fundamental principles of getting ready to meet Him. So, if you will, some practical principles for preparation. And in the end, you're going to see that the Lord kind of turns the tables on us a little. He surprises us at the end. Now, with that in mind, the first principle of, if you will, practical preparation is to procure your provisions. Procure your provisions. You'll notice that the bridesmaids, the virgins, have a role. In that culture, there would be some bridesmaids that would greet the groom when he arrived at the bride's house. So they'd be outside the wedding party. And usually, weddings started at night. And so they would have these lit torches to greet him, these oil lamps that would greet him. And that was their, if you will, their task, to be ready to meet him. Now, in our culture, it's always the bride who's late. It is always the bride who's late. I have been 23, almost 24 years a priest. I have never had a wedding start on time. Not even once. But in that culture, it was the groom who kept everybody waiting, all right? And you see that, therefore, the bridesmaids knew they had to bring ample oil. Because sometimes, especially important grooms, would delay their arrival. Part of it was the drama. Is he come yet? Is he come? Is the bridegroom in the house? And that building up. And so they would often delay their coming. So you have these bridesmaids, and five of them are wise, and they bring extra oil, because you know how bridegrooms can be. Those grooms can be pretty late sometimes. And five of them were foolish, saying, well, I'll just bring enough. You know, it's too much trouble to carry extra oil. That means I got to carry something else. It's just too much trouble. So they didn't bring any extra oil. All right. The first thing the Lord says is, make sure, in terms of your preparation to greet me, I am the great bridegroom, and I may delay my coming. Meantime, I want you to procure your provisions. Now, the oil, what is it a symbol of? All the fathers of the church had different opinions. Some said it's wisdom. Some said it's love. Some said it's holiness or good deeds. But listen, it doesn't have to be one thing. The oil is all of God's gifts. How many of you know that God is a good gift giver? And God gives us lots of gifts. And He says they're free of charge, but you got to come procure them. You got to come and get them. Things like His Word, His holy word, His truth, His love, the gift of His very self, His life in us, the gift of His Holy Spirit, the gift of wisdom, the gift of love and righteousness and holy deeds, the gift of the sacraments, the gift of the church, the gift of holy men and women and good spiritual friends who have helped us on our journey. Yes, God gives a lot of good gifts, doesn't He? And the Lord says, look, it may be a long journey for you. The Bible says our years are 70 or 80 for those who are strong. Now we're starting to push it a little further, aren't we? We got to have provisions. We have to have that oil, if you will, for our lamps. Because when the Lord comes, we want to have our lamps burning brightly. And so you see, the text distinguishes between those who are wise and those who are foolish. And the wise procure their provisions. I want to look and say to you today, I want to thank you for being wise today. You come to procure some provisions. You come to get a word that'll get you through the week. You come to receive Holy Communion that will nourish you and make you more like Christ. You come for fellowship. You come to have your hearts lifted up by the singing and the praise. And oh, church, that's a wise thing you've done this morning. Because God says it's all yours, it's free of charge. We would like a little donation if you could spare it, but it is a donation. But in the end, brothers and sisters, I hope you're praying every day. I hope you're reading scripture every day. I hope that you're procuring your provisions, keeping your lamp full of oil and having extra oil on hand. Are you praying with me? See, wise people do that. Fools, and look, the Bible just says it plain. You either do this or you're a fool. You call me a fool. Yeah, that's right. Called you a fool. Some people say, who needs all that? It's like those foolish virgins says, it's just too much trouble to carry around extra oil. Who needs prayer? Who needs to go to church? Read scripture? Come on, I got better things to do. Got my golf game to work on. Got my career. Got to work extra overtime, whatever. We've got too many other things to do, some people say, than procure provisions like prayer and scripture and good deeds and fellowship and getting to church on Sunday. I am too busy for all that stuff. And the Bible just says that is foolish. That is foolish. And so it is that some folks say, no, I'm going to climb the ladder of success. That's what I'm going to do. No time for those other things. I'm climbing the ladder of success. Only problem is leaning up against the wrong wall. And you see, the higher they get, it just means the higher they're going to fall from. They're climbing not success, but climbing to destruction. You've got to have oil. You've got to have what the Lord wants to offer you. Are you praying with me? And those who do so are wise. And those who neglect these things are acting foolishly. Foolishly. There is nothing more foolish than to prepare for everything which is uncertain and neglect the one thing that is certain. Are you praying with me? That's a foolish thing. We get ready, we pay our taxes, we go to college and get a career, and we all talk about these things, but you know, these things aren't certain. Tomorrow isn't promised. The next beat of your heart isn't promised. But one thing is certain. I'm going to die, and I'm going to meet God, and I have to render an account. And yet most people get ready for all the things that are uncertain and pay little or no attention to the things that are certain, the one thing that is certain, that I will die, and I will render an account. So again, you see, the text is very clear here. If you're going to be wise, procure your provisions. Pray every day. Scripture every day. Ask God to enter your heart every day. Stay in contact with God. Have good spiritual friends. Get to church every Sunday. Be faithful with the sacraments of confession and communion. Be faithful with these sacraments. All these things. And beg God just to pour out in your heart love and compassion and kindness and mercy and faithfulness, and say, Lord, give me a desire for the things of heaven. Because you know, church, what you want, you get. What you want, you work for, you work at it. You know, we find time for so many things. Why? Because we want them. We want them. And when you want heaven, you and I, we'll find time to pray. We'll find time to read scripture. Not because we have to, because we want to. Oh, church. Beg God for lots of oil for your lamp and lots of oil in storage. Amen? The first practical principle is procure your provisions. The second one, personally prepare. Notice how at midnight, suddenly the groom comes and the foolish virgins say to the wise one, please share some of your oil with us. Our lamps are going to go out. All right. Now, the answer that Jesus gives surprises us a little, doesn't it? We think, isn't it generally a thought that Christ would want us to share? Amen? Why don't they share the oil? Now, just a technical answer first, and then the real, more spiritual answer. The technical answer is the purpose of these torches is to festively greet the groom and light his way as he walks into the bride's house. The point of the lamps is to honor the groom. Now, you can have five good lamps, or 10 dead lamps. But the point isn't, we want to be there. It's not about me. It's about the groom and what the groom needs. So there's 5 good lamps. There ought to be 10, but at least there's 5 good lamps. We got to stick with it. You see that point. But here's the real spiritual point, and pay attention to this. Please loan us some of your oil, but church, there are just some things you can't borrow. And there are just some things you can't loan out. There are just some things you can't borrow. You cannot borrow somebody else's holiness. You can't borrow somebody else's relationship with God. You can't borrow somebody else's love of neighbor. You've just got to have your own. And that's the real lesson here. You and I have got to personally prepare. Personally. We can't just say, well, my grandmother. Listen, what about you? You know, I'm a priest almost 24 years, and all through these years, I often get requests, sometimes for money, or more often, you know, for just, Father, could we have so-and-so's funeral at the church? And I'm going to say yes. We don't say no to funerals. We need to bury the dead. That's important work. But I'll often ask the question, was so-and-so a regular member here? Well, Father, his grandmother went there. His second cousin's sister's aunt had a friend, and she went there. But that is not the answer to the question, is it? Where did he go? And, you know, usually you're going to find out, well, Father, you know how it is. He wasn't much of a churchgoer. And generally, you often find he wasn't much into prayer or scripture either. You're going to find someone who was kind of disconnected, see? But they ought to be able to have the funeral because, Father, his grandmother went there. Look, I'm going to do the funeral. That's not the question. The question is, was there any oil in his lamp when he died? Brothers and sisters, it's important to personally prepare. Too many people stand on their grandmother's faith or their mother's faith or my preacher said. But the question is, what do you say? Only you can pray for you. Only you can have your holiness. Only you can be prepared for yourself. Only you can have your own personal relationship with God. You're not going to get to heaven because your mother had a relationship. An old spiritual just says, my mother taught me how to pray. So if I die and my soul be lost, nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. So again, you see, please loan us some of your oil, they say. Can't do it. Can't do it. In the end, you've just got to have your own. You've got to have your own. We must be personally prepared. So the first principle, procure your provisions. Second principle, personally prepare. Third principle, persevere in your preparation. You know, it says here in the text that the groom delayed his arrival until midnight. That's a late wedding. Amen? It's a late wedding. Sometimes we have to just accept the fact that we're going to be on this earth for a while, most of us. It is true. I can't guarantee you the next beat of your heart. But we also have to be prepared that most of us are going to live 70 or 80 some years. And the question is, are you willing to stay with the Lord all the way? Jesus, we say, you brought me all the way. All right, but were you there on the journey? That's the question, amen? Are you willing to persevere? Again, I get this a lot in pastoral work. Someone will come up to me in the parking lot. Oh, hey, you're the pastor over there at Holy Comforter, aren't you? Listen, let me tell you something. I used to go there. I'm old Saint Cyprian. Father, I was an altar boy. And then they start the old Latin with me. You know, the altar boys used to know the Latin. You know, juventutum meum, patre, huh? And I'll start answering back in Latin, like, ooh. The question then comes up, of course, where are you today? I used to go there. I used to go there. Brothers and sisters, the question Is there any oil in your lamp today? Where are you today on your journey? And I have too many people that say, well, again, time to bury the dead. Was he a member here? Well, Father, he used to go. What happened? Where is he now? Don't know, Father. Sad. People drift. They fall away. The scripture says in the book of Sirach, call no one blessed before they die, because by a man's end is he known. Likewise, Jesus says, he who perseveres to the end will be saved. On the day of judgment, it's not going to be enough to say, well, when I was a kid, I used to read the Bible. When I was a kid, I went to church. When I was in high school or in college, I was a member of the Catholic organization club there, and we studied scripture and we helped the poor. Very good, very good. Where are you today? What's happening today? You see, the groom arrived at midnight, and there were some who were trying to depend on the oil they had yesterday. Can't do it. You got to have it for today. Are you praying with me? Got to persevere in our preparation. Got to prepare every day. Got to be in this for the long haul. So again, you see this vision. First, procure your provisions. Secondly, personally prepare. Thirdly, persevere in your preparation. And that leads us then to the final point. Procrastination is perilous. Procrastination is perilous. And there's some details here that might need a little explanation. It says that the five wise virgins who had extra oil, when the groom arrived, were ready to go right into the wedding feast with him. The other five couldn't go, and they were running to find or to buy oil for their lamps. It says that he arrived, and the five went in to the wedding with him, and the door was closed. Now, let's talk about the closing of the door. Let's, first of all, historically, what is the Lord getting at? Probably this detail, the scripture scholars sort of debate this a little, but let's just present this. They lived in small houses, generally speaking, in that part of the world at that time. And there was generally only one door into the house. And the houses were small, and then they would open up in the back to a walled-off courtyard. So what would happen for a party is you'd invite all the family, and they'd be there. And when everyone arrived, they would close the door. And because it's a small house, and maybe some of you lived in small houses, what do? When you got a big crowd? You push the furniture, the sofa and some of the other stuff, up against the wall, amen? And you might even put it in front of the door. And there were some things, therefore, that you would do. Everyone was in, and you'd push the furniture up, and the door is blocked now. But everyone's in. That's all right. We're here. It's for a party. And then someone comes along and knocks on the door. Oh, man. Are you kidding? And in that culture, it was even considered rude. If you were late for a party and the door was closed, you had to presume, man, all that furniture, it would be a huge effort to let somebody in who was dumb enough to be late. And so again, that's what happens here. That's the, if you will, historical situation. They go into the wedding feast and the door is closed. And to open the door would be a huge effort. And it's considered rude to even knock on the door at that point. You just say, well, silly me, you snooze, you lose. And you just walk away. All right, but of course you see what happens here. The door is closed. Now we're going to come back to that door in a minute. But follow with me. They are rude, and they knock on the door. These bridesmaids, it's pretty much all about them, isn't it? Let us in, let us in. And from inside, the groom calls out, and he says something that is shocking to hear from God, because remember, Jesus is the groom here. He says, I don't know you. I don't know you. Now, I checked the Greek text, because there's different verbs in Greek that are translated know, K-N-O-W, and this is the verb. I was surprised, actually. I was thinking it was going to be gnosko, which is a relational knowing, but it isn't. It's odia. And the Greek term here means intellectual knowing. And that surprised me a little. course, at one level, we would say, well, what doesn't God know? Who doesn't God know? God knows everybody. But I think what the text is trying to say is that you're calling to come in, but I don't recognize you. I don't recognize you. You're not on the wedding list here. You didn't come in at the proper time. I'm sorry, I just don't recognize you as invited to the wedding or as on the wedding party list. So I think that's the best we can do. When he calls out and says, I don't know you, he's saying, I don't recognize you as one of my sheep. You didn't sign up to come to the wedding, or you're not on the list. I invited everybody, but you're just not on the list, and it's just, we can't open the door. We can't open it. All right. Now, this is where the Lord turns the tables on us, and try to pay attention, because it's a little subtle. Let's look at the door for a minute, and what the door really is, and who really opens the door, and who's really knocking. Because the Lord sort of turns the tables here. They are doing something, and knocking on the door, they are doing something obnoxious and something that you don't do. You do not get into heaven by knocking on the door of heaven. That is not how you get into heaven. You want to know how you get into heaven? By letting the Lord knock on your door. Pay attention. That's how you get into heaven. The door to heaven is opened from the inside of my heart and yours. It is the Lord who knocks, and it is you who open. The Lord says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open to me, I will enter and have supper with him. I will have holy communion with him, with her. Are you following this? How do you get to heaven? By knocking on the door of heaven? It was not you who chose me, says the Lord. I chose you. I knocked on your door. And the question isn't whether I'm opening a door. The question is whether you are opening a door. Do you see how the Lord is turning the table here? Now, why then is that door locked? Here comes a great mystery, and most of us have trouble accepting it, but the Lord teaches it, and he warns us. If we consistently say no and refuse to put oil in our lamps, and we consistently, while the Lord is knocking on the door of our heart, if we consistently say no, our no becomes increasingly a capital no, and eventually it becomes a no that will never change. There comes a day when the door of our heart can never be opened again. Be careful. If you are consistently saying no, and I see all of you here today saying yes, but a person who says consistently no, 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 that no becomes increasingly hardened and fixed, and it becomes increasingly unlikely. You know, after a while, background noise you don't even notice it anymore, do you? Most of us work in offices, and do you know all those lights up there, those lights are buzzing away, aren't they? Let the power go out and say, wow, it's quiet. Those buzzing fluorescent lights, after a while, we don't even listen to them anymore, do we? And that can happen. The Lord's knocking. Too busy, Lord, no time now. Tomorrow, Lord. I thought about saying yes today, but tomorrow, Lord, tomorrow. And eventually we just stop hearing. And our no becomes increasingly fixed. And the Lord is trying to teach us something, that at death, our yes or our no become forever fixed. That's why hell and heaven are eternal. Because when we die, our decisions are final. That may seem mysterious to us now, because we're always thinking, I can always change. But some of us who are a little older now know that the older you get, the more fixed you get in your ways, amen? Someone came to me very, very frustrated about someone, and I said to him, he's an old man, he's not going to change. Why don't you change? You know, it's just a reality. And the Lord is saying there just comes a time when the door is closed and it can no longer be opened. And that moment is at death. You will either said yes to the Lord and gone in with him by the door of your heart, or you will have closed the door forever. Are you praying with me? This is subtle, but it's clear enough. Now, I need to conclude. So let's quickly review and then step back. The Lord says, please, he says, understand something. You don't know the day or the hour, so be ready. Get ready now. Make some choices now. Start answering the door now. First of all, procure your provisions. Let me richly endow you with prayer, with love, with joy, with mercy, with peace, with my word, with my sacraments, with my people, with all of the things that will help you to have plenty of oil for your lamps. And understand, I need you to personally prepare. You can't send your grandmother to Mass. You gotta go. You can't tell your grandmother to read scripture for you. Personally prepare. Persevere in your preparation and be careful. Procrastination is perilous because your heart gets harder and your conversion becomes more and more unlikely as you delay it. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, sinner, come home. Sinner, come home. He's calling. And I'm mindful of another old spiritual. Somebody is knocking at your door. I said, somebody is knocking at your door. Oh, sinner, why don't you answer? Sounds like Jesus. Why don't you answer? Somebody is knocking at your door. Somebody, and his name is Jesus. But pay attention, church. The door to heaven is open from the inside of my heart and yours. It is the Lord who knocks. It is we who open, or we who refuse to open. It is we who bar the door, or we who open it. But one day, our choice is forever fixed, and the door will be closed, and we'll either be inside with the Lord or outside with other arrangements. Somebody, church, I said somebody, is knocking at your door. His name is Jesus. Many of you are good at answering that door. But we all know people who aren't. What are you going to do about that? What am I going to do? I've asked all of us to pray about picking someone in our family or among our friends that we're going to help them to start hearing the knock again. Keep praying. I'll talk more about that at the end of Mass. But for all of us, keep answering. Let the Lord fill your lamps with oil, because somebody is knocking at your door. Amen.